The truth of any matter can be a continual search. How do you determine it? What is the barometer you use to establish verity in your life? There are so many outlets vying for your attention, attempting to define and redefine truth at every turn. The verity of the Word of God is the only standard that matters and never changes. It is the only truth that is perpetual and invariable, whether you believe it or not. Relying upon it as the authority in your life will bring you closer to your purpose and align you with its verity. Please join me on this episode of the Spoken Verity Podcast as my co-host and I speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God in love. Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the Spoken Verity Podcast. My name is Remy Echo, and I'll be leading our discussions today as a primary host for this episode. As always, I have with me my brothers, my co-hosts, Brother Otto Medina Jr. and Brother Wiley Harris III. Brothers, how y'all doing?
Morning, brother.
Fantastic. Great. Blessed and highly favored.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, as always, keeping first things first, let us commit this episode to the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for another great day. We want to just thank you for this opportunity, for trusting us with it. As we have gathered now, we've prepared our notes and our outline. We submit all of it to you, our vocal cords, that you would breathe through us, that you would speak through us, Lord, that you would use this episode for the glory of your name and the good of others. We thank you, Lord, for your presence now as we begin to discuss. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right. Before we go into our dialogue for today, I'm going to very briefly recap episode 8 of the Spoken Verity, which was led by Brother Otto Medina. That episode was focused on elevation, identifying some key issues that hinder our growth towards a deeper relationship with the Lord and what we can do to elevate in our faith and hope and love. We touched on why do we as believers struggle with issues of the heart that hinder our growth to move to the next level. Disobedience, pride, lack of a relationship with the Father. We also talked about why do we allow our thoughts to deviate from the truth. And then we shared words of encouragement from the Bible to encourage other believers to be overcomers and more than conquerors in the midst of all the current world issues. You can always find that episode if you subscribe to our podcast, wherever you get podcasts from, or you can go to our website, thespokenverity.fm, and you can get that episode. Anything you all want to add to that recap?
No, you did that well, brother. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, sir. So, in today's episode, we will explore a Christian's relationship with money. Having an understanding of what the Bible says about money is vital to strengthening a Christian's eternal perspective, because the Bible does have a lot to say about our finances. It's been reported that there are about 2,350 verses about finances in the Bible. And of the 38 recorded parables of Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, 16 of them deal in one way or another with money. Clearly, money is an important subject, right? Let's think about it this way. The Bible has about 500 verses pertaining to the topics of faith and prayer, but 2,350 verses on finances. Almost half of Christ's recorded parables were on the topic of money. Why is that? Well, we at the Spoken Verity believe that's because God knows our attitude towards money is an indication of where our heart is with Him.
Mm-hmm.
Since the Bible and our Lord Jesus, while He was here on earth, felt the need to place such emphasis on this topic, we at the Spoken Verity podcast felt it necessary to take some time and explore a Christian's relationship with money. Now, we know some believers erroneously consider money to be the root of all evil. But what the Bible actually says in 1 Timothy 6:10 is that the love of money the root of all kinds of evil. And these are the words of Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. I just want to take a moment here and express how much I love the recorded words of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Like, he starts off with, okay, you know, you can serve two masters, and let me not leave any ambiguity on the table. You cannot serve both God and money. Like, let me put it out there, right?
Right.
So, as Christians, how do we relate with money? In answering that question today, we will focus on tithing, stewardship outside of giving, and finally, in our last segment, we will examine what the Bible truly says about wealth and financial prosperity. Considering the recent backlash against tithing, even from within the church, we at the Spoken Verity Podcast decided to treat tithing as a high-level topic with its own segment in today's episode, kind of extricating it from the stewardship giving piece. In doing so, we will speak the verity of God's word regarding tithing, which is increasingly being challenged, like I said. Some of those who oppose tithing claim that it is a misreading of the Bible, while others say it was an Old Testament practice that should be done away with. So to kick off our conversations today, I'll start with my brother Wally. Please get on the mic and help answer this question. Why should Christians tithe?
Thank you, Brother Remy. I appreciate you introducing this topic for our listeners. And before I answer your question, I think the real question is, why shouldn't we tithe? I don't really think that that's a question for a believer whose heart is for the Father and to do things according to Scripture. But since you posed that question, let's start off with, first of all, defining what the tithe is. The tithe is the tenth of your increase that is to be brought into God's storehouse. According to Scripture, it's not really giving. It's setting aside and returning to God what is His. And we are all familiar with the Scripture in Malachi 3:8, yep, where it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have you robbed me? In tithes and in offerings." So that Scripture, again, is pretty well known to believers and to those that are on the show listening right now. In Leviticus 27:30, though, in the NIV, this may not be as a Scripture that most of us have heard. It says, "A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord." So when Scripture says that the tithe belongs to God, therein is the main reason why you should tithe. It belongs to God. There is no other Scripture that now says a tithe of everything from the Lord, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, does not belong to the Lord. Like, there's no other Scripture that says that. So that Scripture continues to stand. So with the definition of tithing and who it belongs to establish, let's sharpen the focus on the question a little bit of why a Christian should tithe. I'm going to center on 3 points. A Christian's tithing demonstrates your stewardship over what God has given you and what He's entrusted to you. When you think about it, everything you have came from God, and everything you will have comes from Him. Psalms 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Amen. It all belongs to God anyway. Yep. So what you have been given by God is your opportunity for stewardship. Scripture says in Luke 16:10 that he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. At issue here is your heart and the relationship you have with money.
Yes.
Do you see tithing as an opportunity to reveal yourself to yourself so that you can be trusted with more? And I say to yourself, because God knows if you can be trusted or not. And the opportunity for increase in your life is God's way of showing you that He does trust you in that area of your finances. In the latter half of Isaiah 55:10, it says that God gives seed to the sower. So with more seed comes the fortuity to tithe, because God knows that He has a faithful steward over the provision he has given you.
Mm.
A Christian's tithing is an act of worship, as described in Matthew 6:24. You talked about this a little bit earlier in your opening. No man can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one or love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. So again, this goes back to our relationship with money. Are you tithing with gratitude and thankfulness that you have the opportunity to do so? Or are you begrudging of your role as a steward and thereby making that which you begrudge your master?
Mm.
Doing the former is an act of worship. And lastly, when a Christian tithes, it demonstrates humility. Since we are stewards and not owners, in the sense that you can't take what you have title to in this natural world with you when you die, part of demonstrating humility is doing as God prescribes in all of his scripture. Abram and Jacob tithe as an act of humility and gratitude before there was a commandment by God for the children of Israel to tithe in the Old Testament. So what does that show here? It shows that they were motivated to tithe when there was no command because they recognized in their humility the source of the blessing.
Amen.
So as I opened in the beginning, the real question here is, why would we not tithe?
Thank you, brother. Thank you. That was very impactful. It's interesting, right? Because most Christians understand God's sovereignty, like he's the owner of everything, but somehow it's limited to animals and plants. When it starts coming to our possessions, you know, the flesh starts wanting to rile up against it because, okay, yeah, this is mine, but God is the owner of all of it, like you so eloquently stated. Brother Otto, please Why should Christians tithe?
Why should Christians tithe? Being that I am a Christian, I think I'm an authority to be able to answer that question. So
I believe so.
I want to commend Wiley. That was an excellent, excellent answer, man. I think you gave clear guidance for people who are listening to understand the tithe. You know, and what does it mean? I'm going to piggyback on what you said, and I'm going to always, you know, do my style of practicality. You know, what we tend to do is we have this attitude, as you said, Remy, we have this attitude that, how dare you, God? Mm. How dare you just leave me 90% and you get 10%? Mm. That's the attitude we have. Mm. It all belongs to him. How dare you, Christian, you know, not honor God with your tithe? That's what I say. That's the initial response. Now, to answer the question directly, because God said so.
Right.
That's the short version.
There you go. Yeah.
That's it.
That's the short version right there, because God said so.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go, rationalizing, you know, oh, wait a minute. I don't need to tithe my gross. Let me tithe my net.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You with me so far?
Mm-hmm.
No, let's not play games. Like, stop playing games, man of God. Stop playing games, woman of God. Mm-hmm. Give God what belongs to him. It's all his anyways.
Come on now.
Okay?
Come on.
So here's how, when we do approach it from a healthy perspective, then what happens is this: God will give you more. I think we are perfect examples of that. We've experienced that in our own life, you know, where we have nothing, but we give what we have, not grudgingly, like scripture says in 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly, or under compulsion.
Yes.
For God loves a cheerful giver.
Yes, sir.
All right. But let's take it back old school. Okay. Like Proverbs, King Solomon. What did King Solomon have to say about it in Proverbs? Proverbs 3, verse 8 through 10. This will bring healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your harvest.
Yes, sir.
Watch this. If the, again, the promise, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Ain't that something? He said, look, if you give, I'm going to give you more. Simple as that. Then Proverbs 11:25, a generous soul will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then it goes into Galatians. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap.
That's right.
Yep.
Okay. I want to go to 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 3 through 16. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but here we have the prophet where God has given instructions for him to go. And the Lord says, I've commanded the ravens to provide for you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. And for he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. Get this. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he would drink from the brook.
Come on.
It happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. Let me pause right there for a second. Here's the man of God at a brook that's drying up. You have fish in there, no doubt about it. Think about the setting here, the historical setting for a second. You know it had to smell bad. You know it didn't, you know, with things drying up like that, things were dying in the water. Yet the Lord was providing for them. And then further on, he says, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Okay? So he rose and went to Zarephath, and there he came to the gate of the city. A widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, please give me a little water in a jar that I may drink. And she was going to get it. He called her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in a bowl and a little oil in a jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Then the prophet Elijah says, do not fear. Go, do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from its first and bring it out to me. And afterward, you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. Stop and think about, try to picture this. This was all she had. And she was prepared to die with her son because she knew there was no more food. Remember, there's a drought going on. And she's a widow. So obviously there was no provider other than the Lord for her. You understand what I'm saying? So there's a lot of meat here, man, that we really got to stop and think about, because here we see an attitude being displayed where she complied with what Elijah asked her because of her faith in God, and God blessed her where her, what did he say right here? It will not be exhausted. She's not going to run out no more.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? But what do we do when we might have a tight situation on Sunday? You know, we've got these things that we've said, you know, well, man, I don't feel like being uncomfortable. You know, I really don't. I know I'm supposed to give 300, but I'm just going to give 150 because I got to play. No. You look at these kind of examples that we have of obedience, of obeying God, and letting your faith take you to where you really want to go. I mean, when we do it ourselves, I could tell you this, you know, having been involved in organized crime, gang lifestyle, unfortunately in my past, selling drugs and trying to make the fast money. One thing I noticed, I never came close to getting the things that my heart desired. But when I, but God, when I trusted God, when I have faith in the Lord, and I said, you know what, Lord, I mean, it's amazing how, I mean, by being obedient to God, I was able to buy my first legal car.
Amen.
And that's taken me that same practice. Now, I also follow some, you know, you have Dave Ramsey who has the baby steps. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. If you want to stop being broke and being out of debt, try the baby steps. But ultimately, I hope I've answered your question. And I wanted to give a little bit more from old school stuff, you know, historical stuff. That you can really look at. I don't know if you've seen it that way. That's how God gave it to me. I'm talking 2:30 this morning. He woke me up and said, you're going to share this today. So 1 Kings 17, read that chapter, please. And then some of these other, cross-reference some of these scriptures we give you. We give you the address. Write it down. Cross-reference it. See, what does God say about it? Remember, don't trust my word. Don't trust man's word.
No.
Go to his word.
There you go.
And you'll see, he said, test me.
Say that.
Try me. I dare you. And it's not about just the monetary, which I don't want to get ahead here. So that's my answer, brother.
Thank you so much. Thank you, brother. Yeah, and that piece right there, that last piece about try me, test me, that's the only place he says it. That's the only place he drops down that gauntlet, so to speak, like, try me in this, right? I already knew we were going to be in each other's notes when the Holy Spirit gave me this topic, but all that you said, Brother Otto, it speaks to, first, we as Brother Wally defined tithing, it's to bring it into the storehouse. And it was supposed to be for the priest and all that. So your illustration speaks to her being in obedience and taking care of God's servant and having that faith, you know. Here's one question that would help every Christian when it comes to money and other resources. And we kind of talked about this. It's just a simple question. Who truly owns it? Who does it belong to? Right? The answer to that question has the potential to transform every financial decision. And what it does is it makes every financial decision a spiritual decision based on who owns it, right? The scripture is very clear on who owns it. My brother Wally touched on this in the Psalms 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. It's also in 1 Corinthians 10, 24, for the earth is the Lord's and of his fullness. So, like I said earlier, Christians don't have an issue with God owning the earth is our own stuff. It's much easier for us to think that the trees and the animals belong to God, but when his ownership extends to our possessions, then we get all up in our feelings. But nonetheless, the Bible states that everything on earth is the Lord's, and that includes all of our possessions, right? Brother Wally touched on this as well. It's actually not about money. It's about the heart.
That's right.
It's about living with the attitude of gratitude. It's having this heavenly perspective that we as Christians are blessed to be a blessing. And Brother Otto's illustration was just like that too. Tithing is an act of faith and obedience that helps us to keep our priorities straight, reminding us that, again, God is in control. According to the Bible, we Christians should tithe because that shows that we trust God with our finances and by large, our lives. And it's very important to note that the tithe is not for God's benefit. He doesn't need it. We've said this several times. It's not for him. He doesn't need it, right? I know our discussion today is money, right? And the Bible doesn't explicitly state this, but I feel led to go left field a little bit here and just say that we as Christians should even go beyond and tithe our time, talents, and other resources, so to speak, right? When I say, because the Bible doesn't say that, but I say in the sense of we maybe understanding that the tithe is an act of obedience, a heart issue, we should look at it across the board with other areas of our lives as well, right? Tithing our time, tithing our talents. If we can decide that, okay, I've been blessed with this gift or talent, how can I help someone? So when you live out of a place of giving, as the Bible says, he who refreshes others, he himself will be refreshed. Amen.
Amen. Let me add something real quick, if I can. I want our listeners to understand to not confuse tithing and giving, because they're not the same. Tithing is you returning back to God what is already his.
Yes.
In terms of stewardship. It's like what he told Adam in the garden. Don't eat of this tree. It was a command. This is to see your obedience to that command.
Yes.
Giving is over and above that. Mm-hmm. So when you're giving your time, you're giving of your resources, that's a gift. That's over and above what you would normally do. Mm-hmm. The tithe is not something that you're giving.
Yes.
So let's not check a box there and say that I give because I tithe. Mm-hmm. No, you give it to God in terms of returning it to him because it's already his.
Yes.
So I just want to make that distinction clear for our listeners.
Yeah, that is so good, brother. Thank you. That's tithe and offering distinction, right? The tithe is what you're returning. The offering is what you give.
Correct.
Yeah, yes. You can use, you're so right about that, because we mix the both of them, right?
We use them interchangeably. Both. Yeah, yes. And that can become a challenge, because if you're not giving offering, then you're not sowing seed. And we're going to talk about that later too. Mm-hmm. And now without seed, you have no opportunity for harvest.
Mm-hmm.
So the offering piece is just as important, because that is another act of your heart, but it's also demonstrating your generosity. The tithe is demonstrating your stewardship and obedience to God. Mm. The offering is now showing where the abundance of your heart is to whatever work that God has asked you to invest in, the funds that he's entrusted to you. And we'll talk about that later, because that's in, I think it's in your next question.
Yes, yes, brother. So I just want to stay here for a minute, if you don't mind. The offering piece, it's almost like sacrificial, not almost like it is. It's the sacrificial part, so to speak, right? It's the that part that where you go beyond the minimum. You know, it's like, hey, all you have to do is just come in 8 o'clock, leave 5. But you go in at 7 and you leave at 6 and you make sure that it's... So it's that little... Yeah, that's that sacrifice part. That's why... Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why it is that seed that is that you sow. Anything you want to add, Brother Otto?
Yes, but they're synonymous with each other, you know, but they're synonymous, but distinctly different.
Mm.
Explain tithe, how they're synonymous, but distinctly different.
You already explained it. You said tithing was this, and then giving was that.
Mm-hmm.
You explained it. I mean, I'm just saying people will make it as if it's synonymous. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. All right. That I get you.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're trying to do, is bring clarity to that, which you did so well, Brother Wiley. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Synonymous but different. I'll stay on the mic, Brother Otto. So I'll come to you here. We've established that God owns everything and we are money managers. So this question is, it's phrased like, outside of giving, right? What other ways do you steward God's financial blessings? And taking giving out of it, Brother Wally has clearly defined, tithing is not the same as giving, but most times it's just like, I give. But to go a little bit deeper, dig into beyond the surface, right? Outside of giving, what other ways do you steward God's financial blessings as God's money manager for our author?
My attitude is this. I want to set the world on fire for Jesus.
Mm.
Okay? So that's coming out the gate. So it doesn't matter whether it's money, my time, my talents, in business, at home, at the gym. Not that I ain't been there in a while, so I'm just throwing it out there.
Whenever you go.
That's right.
It's who you are as a Christian. It's who you are. It's your nature, your new nature. You're a new creation in Christ. So forget about those old ways, because those were Machiavellian ways. Those were selfish ways. Those were, you know, again, when does a thief stop being a thief? One, he stops stealing. Two, he gets gainful employment. And three, he becomes a giver. Okay. But I have this scripture that came to me out of 1 Timothy 6:10. And Paul is talking to Timothy about it. And he said, look here, little Tim. Little Tim, this is what I want you to do. Okay? Hear me well. Those who want to be rich, however, fall into temptation and become ensnared by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money.
Yeah.
Let me repeat.
Yes.
For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil.
Mm-hmm.
By craving it, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Ouch. Been guilty of that. Let's just be honest about it. Okay. Now get this. He said, but get this, little Tim. This is what I really want you to get. But you, O man of God, or woman of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. I'll stop right there. So that's how you can. Those are other ways. Show it in the way you love people. Not just those that love you, but those that are unloving. I'll never forget when we went out to, my family likes to go out, and Brother Wiley and his family has gone with us. Well, we feed the homeless. Okay. And this man, you know, I'm a hugger.
Yeah.
Even right. Hey, look here. COVID-19 or not, I'm still a hugger. I mean, hey, the blood of Jesus got me.
Come on with it. That's it.
So,
amen.
This guy, I want to say, man, I haven't bathed in a couple of months. He didn't want me to hug him. I said, man, bring it in. Bring it in, man. And I hugged him. He hadn't been hugged in forever. You know, don't you think that meant more to him and me, by the way, then for me to give him $5 or $10 or $20.
Right.
You can't put a monetary value to that. You know what I'm saying? And that's showing love to unlovable.
All right. Thank you for that, brother. Brother Wally, as God's money manager, outside of giving, what other ways do you steward God's financial blessings to you?
So, this question that you pose is a personal one. You asked, what other ways do we steward God's financial blessings? So this is going to obviously require some practicality in terms of what I do in my own personal life. So that's obviously going to mirror scripture. Practical application in your life must be the word of God being practically applied, right?
Amen. So
I have learned, and I'm still learning, this is something that God is helping me with in terms of paying my obligations timely. This is part of stewardship. This is an area in my finances that God has worked on and continues to work on for me and with me. When you commit to pay something or someone, you have to make good on your commitment. If something changes to where you are not able to handle a certain obligation as you agreed, then it is incumbent upon you to go to whomever it is and advise them of a change in the situation and see what can be worked out. Ignoring them or the situation is out of line. Mm-hmm. Remember, your integrity and your character are at issue here. It's vital to understand that as a steward of God's financial blessings, you must pay your obligations timely. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 3:27 says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, mm-hmm. when it is the power of your hand to do it. So if you have it, you need to pay it. This is a way, a huge way, in terms of demonstrating your stewardship over God's financial blessings. The second thing is that I have a written plan, a written vision for the blessing of God, even before it comes. Mm-hmm. And that's been given to me by God. Spending time in scripture, spending time with Holy Spirit has allowed me to do that. And so where did I get this from? I got it from scripture, Habakkuk 2:1-3. And it says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. Mm-hmm. It will not tarry. This plan, this vision that you've been given by God when you spend time with him is what he's already purposed. Mm-hmm. Now, there may be some changes in it from your perspective because mm-hmm. you don't understand what the full plan may be and you're living it out in real time, but God has already purposed that plan. So that written vision that you're doing is not necessarily for him. It's for you and those that are connected to you so they can help you with that. Having a plan and a vision is another form of stewardship. Mm-hmm. And for this last point in answering Brother Remy's question, I'm going to shift the focus a little on what we as men of God should be doing or are already doing. Because I believe that this point is paramount when discussing stewardship as a man of God. I'm focusing on men here. Obviously, women of God have stewardship capabilities as well, but their responsibility in the family, if they're married, is a little bit different. So I just want to make sure that this is focused on men of God here. Mm-hmm. As men of God, we must leave a legacy for our families. And this piece to me is very near and dear to my heart. I have seen men die and leave this earth and have not made any provisions for their families. So they've left a legacy, though. It's just a legacy of selfishness, unfortunately, a legacy of not using the gifts and the talents that God gave them to now impart it to their children, impart it to their grandchildren, or what whomever may come after them. Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. You can't take the blessings of God with you. So when we leave this earth, we're not going to be able to take what God gave us naturally into the spirit realm. Now, we can take our thoughts and the lessons that we learned from a financial perspective if we didn't share that. And that's another piece that I'm going to touch on a little bit later. So then while we're here, we must prepare our families according to God's plan, as if his son isn't returning for 1,000 years, but we must also be prepared to leave this earth if Jesus Christ came back today. So how does this apply to stewardship? Is your family prepared financially if you were to leave this earth today? Are your financial affairs in order So practically, do you have life insurance? Maybe a will, a trust. Do you have a vehicle that will direct your legacy, your financial legacy? What is the plan that God has given you for being a Proverbs 13, 22 man? And whatever that plan is, have you discussed this with your family, your wife, your children? Leaving a legacy evidences that you understand that this life isn't just about you. As a husband and father, if you haven't made provisions for your family after you have gone, you are operating in selfishness and pride, period.
Yeah.
Your responsibility to them is a part of how you steward the financial blessings you've received from God for him. So be honest with yourself. What does this look like in your life, listeners? If you are working the plan that God has given you for your family, great. And everybody's plan is going to be different, but you're working it as he's given it to you. So if you are in that position, look to help those who have not done it. Not in pride, not looking at them in a certain way, but looking to help. And whom much is given, much is required. We talked about it a little bit earlier. There are going to be believers out here that don't have this plan in place. Men of God that don't have it, either through fear or ignorance. And remember, ignorance means unlearned, not dumb or stupid. It means unlearned. So maybe you haven't had that. Maybe you weren't taught it. Maybe it didn't come. You didn't come up that way. Whatever it is, you still have the opportunity to do that. If you're here on the earth, you still have an opportunity to be able to put this in place. Look for ways to help those that haven't. And again, this is yet another way that we are stewards over God's financial blessings. We invest in others.
Thank you, brother. Thank
Remy, you. If you don't mind, Remy, he hit something that I should have brought up too. You made me think of it. When you talked about Habakkuk, here in our company that God has allowed me to steward over, I have a vision board in our conference room, the very thing that Wiley's talking about. And it's listed on there all the things that we want to accomplish as a company together. The employees know what are we working towards. We're not just spinning our wheels here.
That's right.
Because it's a benefit to everybody. See what I'm saying? Because the idea is not for the business to make my wife and I wealthy and all that. It has nothing to do with that. That's far from the truth. I mean, we, on the other side, we do a certain, on this department, 50% of our profit goes to designated charities. You see what I'm saying? And eventually, everything will go to charity. Again, it's just about covering overhead. But everyone sees on this vision board everything that we're trying to get done here. And we've been able together as a team go one by one checking off things as we get them done. And that's pretty cool.
That's
why we call that the vision board.
There you go.
Amen. That is great. It also helps, right, where everybody has unity of purpose in the company. So everybody knows you, nobody's there questioning, like, why are we doing this? It's right there, you know? And as a Christian business owner, that's something you're praying about. That's something your employees are praying about. It's right in front of them. That's so great. Brother Wiley touched on something that was in my notes, of course, as I said, planning. It's huge. Like, you know, budgeting and writing the vision, that's the planning is that big piece of it. But you also touched on, before I come into to talk a little bit more about planning, there was something you touched on, which was what I was trying to say about tithing outside of money. That knowledge that you have, having been able to understand at this terrain of investments and legacy and all that, investing that in people as well, right? Amen. It's like, okay, I see you. Let me help you, you know, and let me help you come up, you know? And that's great. So as a money manager, stewarding God's financial blessings, it's planning. I'm going to go out of a different verse for my brother. I'm going to go to Proverbs 6, verses 2-7. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest, right? So it's talking about you preparing, making sure that you have a plan, you know. And also, we also find it in Luke 14, 28, where the Lord was talking about, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, right? So it's all about that, making sure that your funds that are coming in, you are aware of where they should be going. And you said something, Brother Wally, which was your very first point, paying your obligations. And not just debt, but utilities, right? Yeah, because you might be like, oh, yeah, let me just, yeah, I don't have it. And it's right there. But, you know, we love these little things to just come in. Like, why don't you just pay it? Yeah. And we just let it come in. Like, I don't have it right now. I need an extension, you know. And you find Christians using things that are happening in the world. God has blessed us, but, you know, because of COVID, I don't know, is there anything you can do? But the Lord has blessed you enough to be able to take care of this bill. But we want to come under a different blessing, because, you know, you find people wanting to take advantage of everything that's out there, like, oh, but
yes,
yeah, you know, and then you get yourself into places where he has provided for you, but we are rejecting that blessing by trying to come under, oh, let me see if I qualify for this. Oh, they are giving out food stamps. Let me see how I can get this. But the Lord has blessed you. Do you need food stamps, or are you wanting to bring yourself under a curse just because of your flesh? You know what I mean? So that's another piece for believers to look into as well. And in planning also, you have that, like I said, everything you talked about, saving for the future, making wise investments for the family. And anything, brothers, you want to add?
Yeah, let me jump in real quick. You said something about using the opportunities that your creditors may give you in order to extend some time in order to hold on to what you have. And what you're doing there is you're now attempting to put yourself in the place of God and meet your own need. And when you do that, you're going to have to continue that and continue that. And when that happens, you have put yourself in the place of God, which is idolatry. And so, and we've all experienced it. And if anybody that's listening says that they haven't, they're lying. That's just what it is. We've all experienced it. But what I've learned, since we're talking about practicality here, like Arthur likes to say, practically applying the word of God, it says that I meet your need according to my riches in glory.
Come on.
In Christ Jesus. So if he said that, then we have to let him meet the need. It may mean that if you put your money on something that you shouldn't have done, maybe you should not be able to hold on to it because it wasn't provided by God. Now, yes, he allowed it, but it doesn't mean that he had you to get it because of a certain scenario or a certain situation. Mm-hmm. It just means that he allowed it because it was going to teach you how to trust him more.
Yep.
And there's a lot of things that we can go into that, but I just wanted to add that piece. When you attempt to meet your own need, then God won't, because you have now put yourself in the place that he's supposed to be in, that he purposed to be in, and that he promised you that he would be in, but you've pushed that promise away to protect that money that you have that he gave you in the first place.
But Arthur?
Well,
I know. He dropped it right there. That is so true. Yeah. We allow our flesh to lead us into something that we're not supposed to be, instead of staying in that trust, instead of staying in that belief, right? You know?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty.
That's right.
Like, yeah, yeah, man. And Proverbs has so much about being a steward. I know you are the Proverbs man, and I just want to quickly say that, like, if you are like, how do I life in general, stewarding
period.
Your life,
period.
just grab Proverbs.
Yes.
Wiley, he wasn't talking to you, he was talking to me of being the Proverbs man. Okay, just saying, just for the record.
I got you. Well, then we'll
go ahead and enjoy
add
that.
You to the list. Yeah, we'll add you to the list, and you can enjoy that privately.
No, yeah, Proverbs is huge. I know Brother Wiley is huge on that. Yeah, Proverbs is so huge. Yeah. So, Brother Wiley, while you're still on the mic, right, in my opening, and you touched on this as well, some Christians associate money with unrighteousness. It's kind of like if you're wealthy, then there is sin in your life, because as a follower of Christ, you should live this life where you shouldn't be rich or have wealth. It's so bad that wealth and financial prosperity are words that have negative connotations within some circles of the church. As if when we live a life of influence, it signifies that as a Christian, we're not a true believer. So in this last segment of our episode today, let's dive into that a little bit. What does the Bible really say about financial prosperity and wealth, the Reverend?
So you said something there about how the world wants to, or even in the church, unfortunately, yes, wants to tether prosperity to wickedness.
Yes.
But see, part of that has to do with the fact that they don't understand the purpose of finances. They don't understand the purpose of money. So instead of learning and being humble and receiving the blessing that God has already promised you,
come on,
you want to talk negatively about it and push it away because that's what religion tells you. Well, no, that's not what the Word of God says. That's not what relationship says. So we need to focus on what Scripture says concerning prosperity and wealth. And as I mentioned earlier, there are so many scriptures in the Word of God concerning wealth and prosperity. I'm going to quickly focus on four.
Okay.
This is Holy Spirit speaking through John, 3 John 2. He wishes above all things that we prosper and are in health, even as our souls prosper. This is what Holy Spirit has said in his word to anyone that reads this scripture. He wishes above all things that we prosper and are in health, even as our souls prosper. So right there, our thinking is tied to our prosperity and our health. What are you thinking about? Are you listening to what religion says? Or are you listening to and reading what the Word of God says about your prosperity? This is Holy Spirit speaking through David, Psalms 112, 2 through 3. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house.
Come on.
And his righteousness endureth forever. Well, who is he? He, his seed, his house, his righteousness endureth forever. Who is he? It's the man that feareth the Lord. That's that first scripture. Psalms 112, verse 1. So what does the Bible say? It says that wealth and riches shall be in your house when you fear the Lord. Fearing the Lord means doing what his word says.
Yeah.
Not what you've heard that's contrary to it. What does the word say? This is Holy Spirit speaking through Moses, Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Brother Arthur mentioned having a vision board at his company. This scripture is on my company's website. You can go to it and read it. It's very prominent because I recognize that whatever wealth has been given to me has been given to me, my God, to establish his covenant, his promise.
There you go.
I don't know all of my generations past maybe about four or five that I can document, but I guarantee you the men in my line going back to Adam and however that connects have a covenant with Almighty God. Now, I'm pretty sure there's some gaps in there. Not everybody, I believe, that was one of my patriarchs was a believer, but I guarantee that there was a covenant that was established. And whether any of those people have participated in it, I am a participant in it through the covenant that God gave to Abraham.
Amen.
The last piece of this, this is Holy Spirit speaking through David again, Psalms 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
There you
go. The want is the overflow.
Mm-hmm.
It's over and above the need. We're always talking about the need, the need, the need. He said he's met it according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. David's talking about, I don't even want for anything. Forget the need. The want
is taken care of,
is met. So now I'm able to abound in every good work, as it says in scripture.
Come on with it.
Part of the lies from the enemy is that we are not to have wealth.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot abound in every good work if we're broke. Scripture says a tree is known by its fruit. So what are you producing? What is your life producing? If you aren't sowing, then you won't have a harvest to reap. As long as the earth remains, scripture says there will be seed time and harvest. It's a financial principle. Godly wealth and abundance is reserved for those who give.
Come on.
Ask yourself, listeners, am I a giver? Am I a tither? Do you see tithing as an obligation or an opportunity?
There you go.
Don't believe the lies of the enemy, listeners. God wants you to prosper. Just doesn't want the prosperity he has given you to take his place in your life.
Yes.
When you focus on that fact, everything you have and everything that you will have has come from God. It will humble you and remind you of your stewardship.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, Reverend. Come on with it.
Well, he on
hallelujah.
Wiley's on it today.
Holy Spirit of God.
Holy Spirit
yes,
of God.
Yes, I love it. I love it. I knew it was going to be this way. I just. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Otto.
I want to take us back to when the spies went over the Jericho. You know, they were seeing the land. They came back to give a report.
Yes, sir.
And they said, man, the land over there, they ain't just got corn tortillas. They got flour tortillas over there, man. And they ain't just got tacos and burritos. They got barbecue over there, man. And I mean, they got it going on, you know. But what happens is that we get so wrapped up and caught up in the things that we miss the whole point of God moving us from one place to the other.
That's right.
He was moving them into a place to where they would have every opportunity to worship him.
Say that. That's it.
It wasn't about the tacos and burritos and barbecue. It was about the opportunity to worship him freely.
Come on.
That's prosperity to begin with.
Come on, man. That's it, brother.
So, since Wiley looked at my notes and used 3 John 1:2, I'm just going to go ahead and move on to the next one, you know.
He used all our notes, brother. The spirit is flowing. Come on.
But I want to reiterate that quote. I mean, that verse right there. It says, beloved, I pray that in every way you may prosper and enjoy good health as your soul also prospers. Okay? That's the condition. Your soul, your spirit, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because he promises over and over and over. He wants you to prosper.
Yes.
But we make the mistake of assuming it's financially because of our nature. We tend to think that money makes the world go around, and it's not. So, like I say, from Genesis to maps, he promises prosperity. Prosperity is mentioned 399 times in the Bible for those theological statisticians out there. Wealth is mentioned 313 times. But guess what? Blessings is almost 1,000 times. So at the end of the day, how do you define success? Because that kind of correlates with prosperity. And when we think about that, we think about success as being, you know, the bank account is, you know, sitting okay, you know, bills are paid, and we got this, you know, these cars over here. I'm a truck guy, so You know, you've got, you know, all these fancy vehicles and your economic status is all that, you know, but at the end of the day, success is being at the center of God's will.
Amen.
Drop it.
That's it.
I will. I'll drop the mic right there.
Drop it. Drop it. Thank you so much, brothers. Thank you. I want to start off from Brother Wally's mention of Deuteronomy 8:18. And he already said this, you know, prosperity is tied to God's kingdom agenda. Like when we separate it from God, that's where we run into issues. That's what it is. When we look at it like outside of God, and that's even in my opening about Christ saying you can't serve two masters. When we, it's the heart condition of us coming and placing God above the blessings, not placing the blessings above him, right? I'm going to look at Isaiah 48:17. I'm going to start from there. It says, thus said the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Right? That is God declaring that I am in control. I have all of this. You know, I'll provide for you. I'll take care of you. I'll lead you in the way you should go. And if we look at Jeremiah 29, what does it say? You know, my plans for you are for good, not evil. You know, I'm going to also come to Ecclesiastes 5:19. Actually, I'll start from 18 to give it context. Here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage. And then 19, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God.
Hmm.
So that is the word of God, right? It is our heritage, it says, to enjoy that which we have poured on under the sun. And we know we talked about Proverbs, how you can't be hasty with it. And it's not about chasing wealth or prosperity. It's about following Christ, because he says that he came to give us life and life abundant. Mm-hmm. So prosperity or wealth, well, financial prosperity or wealth, it's expected when we follow Christ. That's how I look at it. Yeah, because he said he promised us all things, you know. Anything else y'all want to add before we wrap up here?
Arthur touched on something about it's not just about money, and he's right. I mean, I know that's kind of what our focus has been for this episode, but in 3 John 2, he also mentions your health. And so if you're not in a position of financial well-being, but or if you are in a position of financial well-being, but your health is out of line, well, you're not going to be able to enjoy it, first of all. And second of all, you won't be able to give it as God is telling you, because you've got medical bills, you've got all these other issues. So there's a prosperity in your health as well. So it's not just simply about finances, your health, your mental well-being as well, when your soul is prospering. So all of that ties into prosperity and wealth.
Yeah. That's why I base the question financial prosperity, right?
Right.
It's all of it. And God promised all of that to us as well. But, you know, that piece about the financial piece, that's very, very important.
Amen.
Yeah, brothers. So in closing here, it's important for us to know that as believers, whether we have much or little, the way we handle money can be a testimony to those around us, right? Our willingness to trust God when we have little, or our willingness to share generously when we have much, will both witness to an unbelieving world that Jesus is worthy of all devotion and worship. We talked about that, like that's part of what we do. By doing that, it's an act of worship. It's an act of belief. Brother Wally kind of came in the neighborhood of this verse. So, and this is what I want to use to close today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. The Bible says, all scripture.
Come on.
All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness.
That's right.
Why? so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Profitable for teaching by instructing us in the verities that we need to know. For rebuking, so reproving us so that when we've done wrong, for correcting, show us what is right. For training in righteousness to guide us approach life as God intended it. So all these questions we're asking today, we went to scripture. Why should you tithe? How should you steward your money? Wealth and prosperity. It is all in scripture, inspired by God, so that every man may be complete, equipped for every good work. Amen?
Amen, brother.
Amen. Amen. So, Brother Wally, give us a preview of episode 10, please. Our listeners, what should they expect from episode 10?
In episode 10, we will discuss whether we are pleasing God or pleasing man. Are you living by your commitment to biblical principles, or are you compromising them for people? Episode 10 will help you ascertain where you stand.
On that note, let us close out this episode in prayer. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God. Thank you for flowing through our vocal cords today, for uniting our notes together, for having that unity in our voice. We just pray for the listeners that tuned in, picked up this episode and listened to it, whatever struggles they may have in the area of finances, that you would now take this seed that you have allowed us to plant in their heart, and that you would water it, that you would guide them to your word, as we have declared that your word is inspired by you and it reigns supreme, the verity of the word of God. That's where we always stand. We pray for those that may have financial issues, that you would lead them to the right people, because the Bible talks about in Proverbs having counsels, the good counsels. So we just ask, Lord God, that you would do that. Even as my brother shared during the episode of having people that have walked down a path helping others too, we pray that they will find those in their lives. We pray, Lord God, that this unity in the body of Christ, with royalty, prosperity, gospel, and all that attacking, that you would just let your word reign, that you would change human hearts to just trust and know that your plan for us is for us to prosper above everything else, as we've listened or read today in the word. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you continue to do. We thank you for this episode. We thank you for this podcast. We thank you for our listeners, believers and unbelievers alike. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you for listening to TSV this week. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you use to do so. Please know that we love and care about you. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to do so today. Please go to thespokenverity.fm/salvation to accept the leading of the Holy Spirit and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Until our next encounter, speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God. In love, all the blessings.